It's November, and we are approaching the end of the church calendar. Each year in the cycle of the church year that begins in Advent and ends with the Sunday of the reign of Christ, we follow a pattern in worship and study that takes us the full circle from the anticipation to the coming of the Messiah, through the birth of Christ, through Christmas, Epiphany, Easter, and Pentecost, and finally closing with a focus on the last things, the last days, the culmination of it all, the return of Christ in the fullness of glory. We call that teaching eschatology, not a word we use often. Preaching on eschatology always leaves me a little shaky, probably because of images from my past when there was way, way too much emphasis on the when and the what and the how of the last things. But I seem to preach on it quite often. I don't think it's because I'm a whiz on the subject, but because of one small fact in the other church calendar. This church's, our denomination's, calendar, because you see, not only does the subject of the last things come up during these Sundays of November, these Sundays of November always follow the Banff Pastors Conference. I guess it's a logical Sunday to have a guest preacher. So Ryan and Sandy get a really special and significant time of rest and renewal and inspiration, and they get to bring back friends with them, and I get to preach on eschatology. But you know, even as I wrote that rant with my tongue mostly in my cheek, I was aware of quite an irony. Because I thought of the work I do. I work in eschatology. It's my ministry. It may be individual rather than universal, but I work in endings, in last things, and in final days. I minister at the Pilgrim's Hospice here in Edmonton, where I am chaplain. And at hospice, our goal is to offer support to people who are dying in the hope that they will find life even though they're dying. I'm richly blessed by the people I meet, and they really teach me a lot. They teach me how to live intentionally, and they teach me how to finish well. Five of the bridesmaids in the parable in Matthew finished well, and five did not. They all started with the same frame of mind, full of excitement and energy, and aware that theirs was a great honor. They have been given a special role. Now, I know they didn't wear chiffon dresses and matching shoes and hats and all the other trappings that we attach to bridesmaids, but they had an exciting task, and they held a special status. They were people close to the bridegroom's heart. They were his people, his dear friends, and they were chosen for a pivotal task. Their job was to light the way, to show that the bridegroom was coming. Throughout the day and evening, they waited. Just imagine the 10 of them. Their sense of expectation and excitement was so high, it would have been as if the air crackled. But time wore on. The day closed. The evening turned to night. And exhausted from the excitement of it all and the work of the day, all 10 fell asleep. But then, in the dark of midnight, when they least expect him, the bridegroom shows up. Quickly, the girls get up. They rush to light their torches, refilling their lamps with the extra oil they had brought just in case. They bring the flame to the torch. Well, five of them light their torches, but the other five didn't bring extra oil, and they ran out. Unlike the others, the five foolish bridesmaids didn't bring enough oil to last the night, and their torches fizzled out long before the bridegroom came. He didn't show up when they expected, and they weren't prepared. And their torches, gathered on the invitation of the bridegroom, were useless. Five missed out on the honor of serving their friend, and they missed the celebration that was to be theirs to share. This parable, one of Jesus's last, was not given to the Pharisees, nor was it given to the mass of curious strangers that might gather when he spoke. It was given to the believers, to the ones who called him Lord and desired to serve him, the people of God's family. And it's about foolish insiders who, in the face of a long wait for the return of Christ, become lax. So it's given to us, the church. It's given to us, and it's about us. Because we call Christ, the bridegroom, our Lord. It reminds us that we are to be people who faithfully show the way of Christ. It's about perseverance and finishing well, whenever and however our endings come. The people I work with have a very difficult challenge. And theirs is time of great paradox, because they are trying to live as they are dying. They know, and they're reminded daily, that there is very little time left. And this very sad fact brings a blessing. They are not like many of us who can naively go on pretending that the life as we know it will go on forever, that there will always be time. They know they are dying. And their focus becomes very clear, and it's as if they are saying, with their words and their actions, there is no time for nonsense. Their focus brings that urgency. And the core of things of life, things of God and sincerity of faith, relationship, and caring for those as they can with whatever resources they have left, take the forefront. They make sure tasks are done, and putting their affairs in order means a lot more than wills and funeral plans. It means forgiveness and reconciliation. It takes shape in traditions and stories. It means words spoken from the heart and laughter shared. And as they prepare to die, knowing that the time is short, they become attentive. They see things and appreciate things they might not have ever valued before. But it's more than just noticing. They become very intentional, and they act on their intentions. Time is precious. It's not to be wasted. If you watch them, it's quite clear what they're doing. They are seeking to finish their life rather than just see their days fade away. They do this because they know the time is short. They prepare. The parable of the bridesmaid actually highlights the opposite situation, the situation that we all know. It speaks of an ending with an unknown timing, and how we can fade out when time wanders along and things seem less urgent. It also teaches that we, people of faith, who serve the Lord Jesus Christ, are to live differently. We are to live always purposefully, prepared to stay in it, engaged in this life of faith, obedience, and service to Christ for the long haul. To outline the importance of a life so lived, Jesus uses this parable that speaks of our purpose. Our single purpose in serving God, although it takes shape in many, many forms, our purpose and our honor as children of God in Christ is to show the way of the gospel, to reflect Christ in all we say and do. And as Sam Chase said last week, to be visible signs to the world of the way of Christ. We are to illuminate the way of the bridegroom. As I read this parable, I am reminded that this isn't an automatic, easy, natural thing. I can think of how my own life of faith has ebbed and flowed and had ups and downs and bright shining days and gray, gloomy doldrums. Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, uses the image of a race for his life of faith. I think it sounds like a marathon. And when I think of a marathon, seeing as I only do this in my imagination, I imagine how exciting and motivated one must feel at the beginning of the race. And I've watched the focus and the second wind that comes when the finish line is in sight. But running the race in the middle legs is another thing entirely. That's the hard part. Of course, the runner needs preparation, discipline, and faith for the whole race, but especially in order to keep going when the end is not in sight, if he is to go the distance. And even more than the runner, as people of faith, we are challenged to persevere so that we can live this life of faith in Christ well to the finish. Like the wise bridesmaids, we must prepare. And in our preparation, I see the preparation of the people I care for. Preparation first and always requires attention. Attention to the ways of God. We must keep our mind and our hearts open to God through the disciplines of the faith, so we can know what God is about, but so also God can give us the strength, the perseverance that is ours through the Holy Spirit. We need to pay attention to the needs in the world around us. Attention to God and attention to neighbor. To be prepared means we need to be focused and intentional. We need to put first things first. Shining light to show the way of Christ isn't something we box off and use in special circumstances and special days in certain places. It's something we are to be prepared to do in all times and in all things, no matter what gifts we've been given and no matter what jobs we do. Finally, we are to act. Being friends of the bridegroom is not a passive thing. We have been talking a lot this fall about what the Lord requires of us, looking at Micah 6, that we are to be people of justice and mercy who walk humbly with God. We can read a little further in this chapter in Matthew 25, where we are told that feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, clothing the naked, caring for the sick and imprisoned are the acid test of believers. Prepared in faith, we must act. We see this action all around us. I couldn't begin to mention them all, but I'll mention a few just so that you can think of more ways that might be yours to do. It's the kind of action that we see that fires the spirit in the STEP partnership with Bolivia. We see it in the ESL program offered in this church. We see visible signs of Christ in the blankets that Chelsea and her friends are gathering to keep people warm this winter. We also see the way of Christ in every compassionate conversation, every deed of helpfulness, every card written in love, every meal cooked for the mustard seed, and every child taught of God's love. All these and more are acts of service in obedience to our Lord. All of these and more are unique as each one of us is who offers them. And this is how we are to keep watch. Like I said, these deeds aren't the actions of a select few. We all have a part to play, and we all have been given the gifts and been placed in the situations and relationships where we can show the way of Christ. We are all blessed by the love of God. We all have light to share, for this is our call, this is our responsibility, and it is our privilege as friends of the bridegroom.